I'm Anne Strainchamps, and we're talking about fashion in this hour. So even if you don't spend a lot of time thinking or worrying about what you wear, you still can't escape fashion. It's a trillion-dollar global industry that shapes everything, from ideas about beauty to notions of cool. Minhua Pham is a professor at the Pratt Institute's Media Studies program, but on the side, she blogs about the fashion industry, and she says clothes can be a powerful lens on global culture. Raymond Tangakar caught up with her.
Minhua, there are a lot of people out there that think that fashion is frivolous and it's not really worth serious consideration. I think I actually even read in one of your articles there was a fashion journalist that said that over-intellectualizing fashion actually sucked the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I take it you don't actually believe that, though. So make the case for us. Why should we be taking fashion seriously?
Well, to an extent, I would say, yes, over-intellectualizing anything sucks the fun out of it. But it's worth thinking about, fashion is worth thinking about because it's really an avenue into so many different parts of our life and our society, right? So if we're interested in questions of culture and society, the economy, there's a case to be made that understanding fashion leads us to an understanding of how we work as humans, our motivations, our desires, our fantasies, our aspirations.
As we've been researching this show, I've been really struck at all these negative associations that people have. And, you know, at the same time, this is an industry that brings in billions of dollars every year.
That's right.
And it also informs how we present ourselves to the world. So why do you think there's so much hostility to fashion?
I get asked that question a lot, and my answer has often to do with a gender analysis of fashion. Fashion and so many other kinds of culture and practices that are traditionally associated with women and femininity are often seen as frivolous, right? So it's not just fashion, but also soap operas, for example, that are seen as frivolous and just not that important. So I think that that kind of hostility towards fashion and that dismissal of fashion is linked to a broader sexism in our culture that lingers.
I also wonder if an aversion to fashion is somehow related maybe to a certain amount of privilege, right? Because fashion is about self-expression, but at the same time, it's also about managing the perceptions that others have of you. When I'm buying a new shirt, this is what goes through my head. I'll think about whether it looks good, whether it's cheap, how it fits me. But there's this secondary thought that goes through my head, whether it makes me look more Asian, for example, or even if it makes me look like I'm trying to appear white.
Whatever that means, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so perhaps if you're averse to fashion, maybe you're in a position of luxury where you don't always have to think about what others think of you, or at least think about it excessively.
I see what you're saying. I think the idea that maybe white men don't have to worry about their appearance because their appearance, there's already kind of a taken-for-granted assumption that they are respectable, that they are legitimate, that they should be respected, right? And that people of color and other marginalized people don't have that privilege. And so that the attention to their appearance is often about survival in some way, about countering the negative perceptions that are often imposed on them. So I think that's true. But I also don't think that it's just white men or white straight men that view fashion as frivolous, right? That I think that this is actually not located in one group, but is part of a cultural and national sentiment that has more to do with the ways in which feminine activities and feminine cultures are devalued.
And you have a number of articles that also address the role of race in fashion and the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we've heard, there have been discussions about the fashion industry's lack of diversity. And there's an article you wrote in which you talk about what you termed multicultural scenery.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what that means?
So in that article, I'm thinking about the ways in which we see people of color in fashion media, so that they mostly appear in fashion ads, for example, as a background, as a backdrop that suggests something about the brand's progressive, urban outlook. So people of color then, in these ads that I'm talking about, are props, right, that tell us nothing about the people themselves, but rather about the brand's kind of interest in or attention to diversity. when we see people of color as multicultural scenery, what that actually does is it re-centralizes the whiteness in fashion, because these people are there to support oftentimes the white models in the fashion images. They provide the frame around which whiteness is made central again.
And so what would it take to, I suppose, upend that and make whiteness not the central element of fashion?
Oh, it would take a lot more than a fashion ad. It would take a structural change. And that's one of the problems I think that the fashion industry has with diversity, is that there's just a general lack of understanding of what racial diversity really would mean. Mm-hmm. So that oftentimes the fashion media, fashion modeling agents, fashion designers, for example, attend to a number count, a body count. How many models of color are on the runway? How many models of color are in this ad? How many models of color are representing this brand as a spokesperson? In order to actually make real change, you would have to institute change in terms of, you know, who are the editors of major fashion magazines? Who are the directors of modeling agencies? How do we think about the beautiful body or the fashionable body in ways that are outside of the dominant images that we see of thin to the point of anorexic, thin, long-limbed, young white women, right? How do we think about beauty and fashion in larger ways so that the idea of being fashionable doesn't mean that unless you fit a very narrow set of criteria, you're not beautiful, you're not fashionable.
You're saying that it requires challenging our conceptions of beauty and actually including non-dominant bodies, races. But how do you do that on like a societal level, though?
Well, I think that work has already started. Now we have blogs, for example, that are celebrating and focusing on the very kinds of bodies that you almost never see in fashion magazines. And if you do, then oftentimes as a prop or as a background piece. So that you have blogs devoted to larger women, you have blogs devoted to celebrating the bodies of disabled women. We see Asian bloggers all over the internet. We see a diversity of different bodies enjoying, celebrating, participating in fashion. So I think creating more so that kind of standard, that ideal is actually just one among many ways of being beautiful or fashionable, will start to shift our ideas of what beauty and fashion can look like.
So it sounds like you're saying that fashion serves as a really wonderful lens through which to view culture. I'm also wondering if it could be like an agent of social change.
I think it absolutely can be, and it has. Many marginalized communities, historically and now, continue to use fashion and fashion their bodies through clothes and accessories in ways that change the perception that others have about them. One of the ways that I talk about it with my students is to think about the politics of aesthetics. That aesthetics, the site of aesthetics, whether we're talking about fashion or hairstyle, has always been about a struggle over the meanings of Asianness, of blackness, of womanness. And so, you know, think about the Black is Beautiful movement and how the idea of styling black hair in a particular way, for example, or black clothes in a particular way, created a movement around the idea that black bodies should be valued.
Minha Pham teaches media studies at the Pratt Institute and also blogs about fashion. She's got a new book due out later this year called Asians Wear Clothes on the Internet: Race, Gender, and the Work of Personal Style Blogging.